There's a bit of a marital standoff going on round here. Wild Song, tucked up in the dart, having, we hope, by the time of publication, survived the most fearful western winter for years, is due to spread her great white wings again and head for distant harbours. Brittany, Western Ireland, with luck. By now, all should be sorted. The dodgy seacock, the mystery overhead leak in the heads, the mouldering oilskins, the last strange tropical souvenirs. Clean clothes will be aboard, and tins with their labels still on, and nice new teabag canisters with unrotted seals. The depredations of Paul's 18,000-mile round trip to the Beagle Channel are hardly visible now. Just one matter remains to be considered, and that is causing friction. That matter concerns the bookshelves. We are not a nasty, stripped-out racing boat, and we have no fear of solid wooden shelves bearing rows of paperback novels, gung-ho biographies of braver sailors and beloved guidebooks. I've written before about the importance of having something to huddle into your bunk with when you're off watch or pass the time when gale-bound in dull harbours. But the problem now is that Paul spent several long passages single-handed, 3 months from Uruguay to Falmouth, just wait for his book to find out how nuts he went. Therefore, understandably, Paul cannot stand the sight of any of the books on board, except the strictly practical pilots. He knows them by heart. There is no twist of an Agatha Christie he does not know, no passage of purple prose from the literati which can still impress, no thrilling shootout or seat-of-the-pants escape he does not know by heart. There's no obscure interlude in a political biography that can interest him any longer. Not even one of those tremendous paragraphs of fitting out port in our favourite Bernard Cornwell yacht thrillers. I scarfed in the new tow-rail and rebedded the bronze scuttles, etc. He wants a completely new set of books on board and to bring home or fling overboard the battered old friends of many a summer. I, on the other hand, have been separated from some of my regular summer comfort reading by up to 9,000 miles. Often in his absence I roamed crossly along the home bookshelves on a sleepless night, wondering where that copy of Miles Clark's High Endeavours had got to, because I had a fancy for some Smeaton anecdotes. Or I was muttering into the night, what I could do with just now is that weird historical novel about the woman being tortured by Puritans. Or maybe a highly coloured account of a gallant yachtsman foiling a murderous drug cartel by swiping them with a length of unscarfed tow-rail. If I slightly forgot the detail, that's because whichever book it was somewhere off Fernando de Noronha. So it would be very unsettling to me to get on board and find none of the dear old friends carefully amassed over years to match every possible mood which can strike one when cruising. Books to make it better when you're nervous, distracted, dog-tired, bored, argumentative, giggly, insomniac or drunk. Perhaps the skipper has been going to philosophy classes for fun lately and suppose if I wasn't looking he could pack the shelves out with Wittgenstein and Schopenhauer, or decide that it would be good for us to spend the summer working our way through the great classics in thick, unforgiving volumes. Or suppose he took a sudden fancy to the collected works of Edwina Currie. Okay, that last risk is not a big one, but it seems to me that having on grounds of work cunningly avoided most of the refit weekends in the saturated southwest, I am going to have to head down and assert myself as senior on-board librarian, even if it entails hiding a secret stash in that locker deep, deep down below the quarter berth.